The University Tower Chimes bring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show in which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, from the Department of English, it's Professor Heather Hill Vasquez.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I am well.
How was the summer?
It was up and down.
Okay.
We had some very good ups and some very bad downs.
That's okay.
Yeah, well, summer is life.
So is life. Summer is over.
Yes.
The unofficial, official end of summer.
Mm-hmm.
And fall, based on the weather we just had these last few days, clearly is ready to go.
Gorgeous.
So, yeah,
gorgeous
absolutely.
Gorgeous weather.
Couldn't agree more.
Mm-hmm.
Heading up to Port Huron, where the high tomorrow is supposed to be 63, and I would not have it any other way. Yeah, that's just me, though. What's on tap for your weekend?
Maybe arts, beats, and eats.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. No grading yet.
Yet.
Knock on wood.
I have 21 students in my senior seminar. So
that's
I'm not exactly sure if it's a seminar anymore.
That's
but
a lot.
Yep. Young adult dystopian lit.
That's right.
They seem to like it.
That's right.
So
very
we're
cool.
For moving forward.
Excellent.
But how are you, Dr. Mayo?
I'm Matt will do. I'm doing just fine.
Wow. I get to call you Matt?
Continuing around the table.
Matthew.
Matthew.
Professor Stephen Manning is here from political science. Good to have you here, Steve.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Yeah, excellent. You are in charge of the whole shebang for the Detroit Mercy
What's
Professors Union.
Yikes, what's a shebang? Yes, so they tell me, yes.
So they tell me.
It's technical language.
It's jargon. I apologize. I really apologize for that. So what classes do you have on tap this semester, Stephen?
My intro class and my comparative politics class.
Comparative politics.
Yep.
Too bad you don't have anything to talk about.
Yeah.
Yes, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Slim pickings.
Pretty dull stuff these days.
Oh my God. And that's why he fits in perfectly on the panel. Continuing around the table, we have a special guest voice for our listeners this week.
Voice.
From long, long ago, Professor Greg Sumner is here from the Department of History.
Great to be back.
Absolutely.
I was last here during the second Clinton administration, so nothing has changed.
Nothing has changed. Greg, are you working on, you've had a lot of awesome high-profile publications in the last few years. Anything new coming?
I'm working on the Italian campaign of World War II from Sicily to Rome, 1943 to 44.
Very cool.
Which allows me to visit Italy.
Nice.
Yes.
You gotta look at all the sites.
I gotta go do my groundwork, you know, field research.
Well, and then the revision will require a trip back. Oh.
Multiple trips.
Yeah, yeah.
Certo.
I wonder if there's any chemistry going on in Honolulu right now.
You got to find it. You can't just phone it in.
What's the makeup of that lava, anyway?
Continuing around the table, Professor Dan Maggio is here, of course, from the FIRST organization.
Hi, Matt. Great
to be back.
You
brought pie. It's very nice of you.
I brought pie.
Very, very nice of you.
I can't speak for how well you will enjoy it, but I tried.
You're not supposed to say that before we eat it.
Give me good Yelp reviews, I guess.
That's right. Yeah, we could be Yelp.
Did you make it?
I made it because I contacted the Bayview Yacht Club, tried to get their pie or recipe, neither of which they were willing to give me. They don't even actually make the pie anymore, they said.
That's right.
Well, actually, what she said to me was, we make our own pie. We haven't made it in a while. We're trying to find the original recipe.
Right.
I'm not really sure why she offered that, but there's no pie.
It feels a little like it's a script that's taped to a post-it note next to the phone.
So. I Googled oatmeal pie. Mm-hmm. I took the first recipe I found and then I made it.
Nice.
So
nice.
It's not bad.
Well, it's not like you're duplicating like Popeye's chicken or anything like that, are you?
No.
Okay.
As you usually either just use whatever recipe has fewer than 10 ingredients.
This did.
You did cook it, though.
So anyway.
Okay.
You did cook it.
I did cook it.
Yes,
who said
cook?
I did cook
it.
Have you ever been in a kitchen?
It. Basically, it's a tin full of slop.
Turn on the oven once in a while.
The
pie is baked.
Can't wait to sample it. We'll sample it in between questions.
It could be a 15-minute show.
Professor Dave Chow is here.
Pleasure to be
of
here.
The College for Creative Studies Alumni Association.
Yes, I am now.
Yeah,
it's a nice feeling.
Fair to say, right?
Yeah. 33rd year.
Yeah, wow.
So
that's incredible.
I have stopped teaching for a bit. So
that's okay.
We'll see what happens.
I don't think you really ever stop teaching, but
no, my students will still find me on Facebook at 3:30 in the morning, like they always do. Mm-hmm.
The world is your classroom.
Ugh.
Yes.
How do I get detention? Oh,
the Dream Cruise is your classroom.
Ugh. Yeah. All 120 miles put on my car that day.
Oh my gosh, 120 miles!
How much gas did you use up?
Too much.
What kind of car?
54 Chrysler.
Beautiful.
So I just made loops up and down. Well, not upward, just downward.
Yep. Did you see my buddy and his Hot Wheels giant skull, flaming skull car?
Yes, I did, yes.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Interesting things.
Actually, I found out I made, was it Hagerty Insurance's newsletter?
Oh, okay.
Because wow, that's a big thing.
I have no idea they had a newsletter.
What one more time? What is
my
it?
My car.
No, not your car. What's the newsletter?
Hagerty Car Insurance. They specialize in antique cars.
Oh, okay.
So they snapped a picture of us coming southbound Woodward.
Let's be serious. Antique is not a bad word to use for that 54.
Sure, I guess. It's 65 years this year.
Wow. Incredible.
So does my car get like Social Security now?
Probably.
Okay, hopefully. Right. Hopefully.
Medicare.
Okay. It does have incontinence.
Medicare.
All right. We know where this is going.
To complete the panel, Professor Jim Tubbs is here from the Department of Religious Studies.
Hello.
Hello, Jim. And you have one class this semester?
Two.
Okay, two.
Even though I'm a retiree at this point.
Yes, you are.
I have two classes.
Retiree.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
You playing a lot of shuffleboard these days?
Right, yes.
Mm-hmm. I think you're doing better.
Nuclear
shuffleboard.
Oh, my God.
Don't ask.
Yeah. Hurricane Dorian, what can we do? This is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. And if you don't stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can find us on Facebook or listen to your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. We are not continuing any questions, because we are starting a set of questions sent to us by longtime listener, many time question sender, Kimberly Richards from out in California. 20 questions on various matters. It sounds like the name of a course, frankly.
Various matters.
Various matters.
I would like to teach a course in various matters. That'd be fun.
Yeah, would that be chemistry?
Then I can cover ocean liners, you know?
True.
You've reached the point where you probably could do whatever you want with the classes you have.
You should be researching ocean liners.
What are they going to do? Fire you? No. How many missions did the now How many missions did the now retired space shuttle Discovery go on in logging its record? Are you ready? 148,221,675 miles of travel.
Okay, divide.
Dan, here, you're the numbers guy.
What's the distance from here to the moon and back?
Well, they never really went to the moon.
Not even the moon, the space station.
Space station, yeah.
I'm
going to just guess 22.
I'm partial credit. It's 39 missions.
He's very generous.
He's within 17. Yeah.
Million.
Jeez. The standards have really dropped.
You've been away a lot. Since the Carter
administration. That's right.
Since the Clintons.
Partial credit. That number is on the way to 39.
No, it's like the Price is Right, as long as we don't go over.
Oh, yeah.
Right. No, that's right.
He went way under, my friend.
Exactly. So, but he's the closest.
Because nobody else said anything.
He was the only sentient being to answer.
33, which would have been...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's spin it this way.
Okay.
Because it's different than certainly the number of miles traveled, specifically. How many days did Discovery spend in space between 1984 and 2011 when it was decommissioned?
425.
It's a little high.
257.
257 is closer without going over. Exactly 365 days.
I was going to guess that.
Under a year.
You were going to guess that.
He would have gotten to it, that's all.
Yes.
Kendra would have nailed it based upon how we always do.
She always just aims for the middle and takes it down.
She's the moderator.
What distinction do the cities of Cincinnati, Ohio, Palm Springs, California, and Carmel, California all share? Cincinnati, Ohio, Palm Springs, California, and Carmel, California.
Is it food related?
It is not food
related.
Is
it Les Nessman related?
It is not Les Nessman related either.
Is it letter related?
It's not about the words, no.
Geography?
It has to do with people. people. It has to do with people.
Same population size?
No.
Does it have to do with the fact that Jerry Springer is from Cincinnati?
Yes.
Oh, my
gosh. They all have insane former mayors that have
celebrities.
A TV show at the moment.
Oh, celebrity mayors.
Partial credit. Celebrity mayors. Yeah. Oh. So Jerry Springer was mayor of Cincinnati, 77-78.
Clint Eastwood there.
Clint Eastwood. Carmel. Yes. Mayor of Carmel from 86 to 88.
Yeah.
And Sonny Bono.
Sonny Bono was the late, mayor of Palm Springs.
Great.
Yes. Four-year term.
I bet you, babe.
Four-year term. Yeah. All right, Dan.
The nuts. So great skier.
Good job, Dan.
Good job.
That's unfortunate.
And the beat goes on.
That I always chart that, Professor Manning. I know I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, as the moment that I became politically woke, because I remember watching the news and seeing him get smushed by a tree. And be like, his position will be taken over by this person he just lived with. And I'm like, is that how it works? Like, you can just become a senator? Like, I need to marry better, you know? It's like, you gotta be kidding me. Is that how it goes? I don't want to get into it because my brain will just break. What significance does the date 1st of May 1962 have in retail history? Retail history.
62?
Barcode? 62.
Nope. The introduction of the miniskirt.
No.
Darn.
That was pretty good for retail, I gotta say. Hmm. But no, it has to do with the town of Roseville, Minnesota.
Something to do with Walmart.
Getting close.
The first Target store.
The first Target, yes.
Oh, Target.
Which it is very well pointed out here. Mm. Walmart still beats Target in volume, but Target is pretty far up there.
What's the town?
Roseville, Minnesota.
Roseville, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Hmm. So they're going to put up a museum there or anything like
this?
The Target Museum. Yeah.
It can't be that far from the Spam Museum, right?
Not too far. That's right.
Oh, Where's the Spam Museum?
Yeah. Something in Minnesota somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere up there.
The Spam Museum. What would be in a Spam Museum besides spam?
Hopefully the Monty Python song.
Hopefully. True, yeah. It better be. Yeah. Absolutely.
A lot of the Hawaiians. Entire skit.
Oh. I just had a spam taco 2 weeks ago. I loved it.
A spam taco?
Are you serious?
Do you know what was in that spam?
Yes.
You had a spam taco.
At Grass Skirt Tiki in Columbus, Ohio, 2 days before they closed.
What do you put on a spam taco?
They closed it down, huh?
It was good.
It says here, by the way, considering, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, it's three concentric rings of two colors, the bullseye logo of Target is licensed from, having been founded before 1962, Target of Australia, which existed before as a separate retailer.
Modeled on a tick bite.
Yeah.
Oh.
Ow.
That's our next category. That's tick our next bites category. For 20.
Lyme disease for 500 pounds.
Or ringworm.
Ringworm.
Right.
What internet company had television ads featuring a cowboy named Wiley Gustafson?
AOL?
Internet company.
Wiley. Internet.
It's been a while since you've heard this, but every once in a while you hear the jingle and you're like, oh yeah, that's the way things used to be.
Yahoo, AOL. It's not,
again.
AOL. Oh, it's Yahoo. Yeah, it's
Yahoo. Yahoo.
He was the guy who yodeled
the
Yahoo jingle. Yodel. Yeah, exactly.
Isn't Yahoo a soft drink too?
Yeah.
Yoohoo.
Yes.
That's Yahoo.
Yoohoo.
Yes. Yoohoo. His Wiley Gustafson's band is the Wild West, and it's his yodel you hear. Whenever you hear the yah.
That's pretty lame.
Jeez. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's your deal? Are you anti-Yahoo? What was
yeah.
the...
Are you working for Google?
That's why my summer's been up and down.
We're having pie at the break. If you behave.
What is the first product that was marketed by the Whammo company? That
slinky.
Also gave us Frisbee, Hula Hoop,
hula
and Super
hoop.
Ball.
Slinky.
Wasn't a Slinky.
Silly Putty.
Was
nope.
it
Frisbee.
The bubbles in a jar?
Nope.
It's
Etch-a-Sketch.
It's probably something a lot more practical.
1948,
oh,
by
48.
The way.
Oh, 48. Yeah, we just started blurting out things before we heard the date.
I went to a nightclub called Whammo once.
Was it full of games?
I don't remember.
Was it more practical, not so related?
I would not say that it's practical, depending on, well, maybe Dennis the Menace would think it's practical.
Slingshot.
Yeah, it's a slingshot. Yeah. I was going to give Greg partial credit because they did not have a company name, but they sold the slingshot, and they named the slingshot Whammo because of the sound that it made, and they're like, yeah, good enough for the whole company.
So, put your eye out.
Yeah,
oh,
my, exactly.
That's a BB gun. Oh, so, my bad.
Yeah.
Yep, that's what it says. When you hit the
a
target,
red rider
it goes
BB gun
Whammo.
With a compass in the stock.
Mm-hmm. Whammo or Yahoo.
Or Yahoo. Yeah.
Lame.
Remember the game Jarts? Remember Jarts? You throw giant darts at
it. And then after a number of people got their eyes lit up.
Finally it was taken off the market.
Be surprised to hear that I actually played Jarts 1 month ago.
Let me see your shins.
That's actually fun.
My friend found a bag of Jarts at a garage sale. Jarts. So the actual original Jarts, which were removed because somebody got hurt.
Yeah.
Much more.
Yeah.
More than somebody.
What could go wrong?
A lot of thinking.
What animal was used as a spy for the CIA during the 1960s?
A dog.
It wasn't a dog.
A monkey.
Wasn't a monkey.
A flea.
It wasn't a flea.
You can really hide
a dolphin.
Anyway. Not a dolphin.
A parrot.
No.
What animal was used as a spy?
If I start giving you the details on this and you haven't heard this before, it's going to blow your mind. I thought World War II
era. A goat.
A
worm.
It was not. It was not
a whistle pig.
It was a whistle pig.
Oh, no. Let's not go that way.
It wasn't a worm.
No.
It wasn't a worm. The CIA spent over $25 million in the 60s retrofitting these animals surgically in order to spy on foreign officials.
A bat.
Dogs.
It wasn't a bat. The Directorate of Science and Technology used these animals to infiltrate Kremlin and Soviet embassies.
Did somebody
by
say
putting rat? Microphones inside their corpus.
Ew.
And kitty cats into their tails. They were cats.
Oh.
Are you ready? Project Acoustic Kitty.
I hate this.
This is great, though.
The your cats, tax dollars at work.
The cats win. The project was abandoned in 67. Due to the repeated difficulty of training the cat to behave as required.
I'm sure. Or behave at all.
Or behave at all.
The cat just wandered off.
Dan is looking at me.
I'm mortified. Look, where's the ASPCA or whatever, PETA? Yeah. Where's PETA and all this?
You mean people eating tasty animals?
No, the other people.
Unbelievable. I'm getting we need a kitty version of Stranger Things to happen now, and this could be like the set piece for it. What happened to the 5 million unsold copies of the home video game created by Atari as a tie-in to the 1982 blockbuster film E.T. the Extraterrestrial?
They got buried in the
landfill.
Yes,
they did. They were dumped, crushed, and covered with concrete in a landfill in Alamogordo, New Mexico in 1983.
Oh.
The game made for the Atari 2600, I received it for Christmas that year, failed to sell because many fans found it too difficult to play. I gave up on it in 5 minutes. It was a good game, but it was horrible.
That sounds like my life.
It was a good game, but it was horrible.
It was horrible. In retrospect, it was pretty horrible. Which supermodel was valedictorian of her high school class and won a full college scholarship to major in chemical engineering? DeKalb High School, class of 84.
Rebecca Romijn.
Cindy Crawford?
It was Cindy Crawford. Oh, yes. Okay. Cindy Crawford.
Good. I knew she was smart, but I didn't know she was
Dr.
that smart.
Dr. Tubbs, that was very impressive.
FYI, where was the full undergraduate scholarship for?
Where?
Ooh. Yeah, where?
Yale.
USC.
Oh, we have to, this is not a drop in the bucket. Northwestern.
Oh.
She dropped out after one quarter to go full-time modeling.
Wow.
If only
financially,
we
I think she did okay.
Decisions.
Now she's selling facial lotion that's developed by a French chemist, so she found her way back to chemistry.
Have you seen what her daughter looks
money?
Like?
No.
Her daughter looks just as good. So.
Yep.
Wow.
Just the genetics. Right.
She's very married to Billy Joel.
That was Christy Brinkley.
Christy Brinkley.
Who did Cindy Crawford marry?
Richard Gere.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, is that a question?
That was not one of the questions.
Can we get credit for that one?
Partial credit. Yeah, absolutely.
We need the help.
That's a bonus question.
First building built on planet Earth to have more than 100 stories.
First building.
I'll say the Chrysler Building.
It's not the Chrysler Building.
World Trade Center.
No.
Chicago?
This building stood as the world's tallest for more than 40 years.
Ooh. Empire State Building.
Empire State.
Wow.
Well,
Empire State
it's
Building.
Hard to call it that because that 102nd floor up there is just a little observation thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's how they're getting away with it because we're doing 100 plus.
Because
I
read somewhere
absolutely.
That they were actually like competing to see who could get the tallest building. They would actually build the spire inside. And then hoist it up so nobody would know until
the end.
Until the end.
Very end.
Boy, Freud would have a field.
Well, right
with that
now, there. I think the Empire State Building is right now the fourth or fifth tallest building, and it's about to go down the list.
Spire.
They're building so many tall, skinny skyscrapers in New York now that look like a good hurricane would take them all down.
And then there's the Trump Tower.
Right. So what we've got here is Jim is exactly correct.
The Empire State Building is fifth in the U.S. after One World Trade Center, the Willis, the Trump International Hotel and Tower, both in Chicago, and 30 Hudson Yard in New York City. What's its position worldwide in ranking?
These are just U.S., right?
It's way...
No, it's about 30, I think, that. Or something like that.
It's even further than 30.
It must be something 70th. In Dubai, too, that they've been building.
Dubai and Shanghai, Indonesia, and the one in Kuala Lumpur.
It says here it's the 44th tallest structure in the world now. But I think that's ironic because of what you were saying about Europe and what you were saying about the Middle East, that it's still the fifth tallest in the U.S., so we're not building them like that much anymore.
Well,
so.
Pretty soon it's going to be the fifth tallest in Manhattan because they're building more and more of these. I was just there last month, and these tall, skinny buildings that they're building, you wonder how they...
They don't have
much of a footprint, but boy, they go way up.
Right. Who was the first former Little League baseball player to be elected president of the United States?
That's a good one.
George Bush?
Yeah, George Bush.
It's George W. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Played for the Cubs of Central Little League Midland, Texas from 1955 to 1959.
He would have made an excellent baseball commissioner.
At some level, I think that what you're saying is true.
Well, he's got the passion for it.
Yep.
Yeah. Maybe not other jobs, but that one.
Yeah.
I'm holding out for Justin Verlander, by the way. Oh. He would be
a commissioner?
As the commish.
The commish.
Either that or maybe he could run the Tigers someday.
Is he still married to?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Supermodel?
Yes.
Or actress?
Kate Hudson. Yeah.
Kate Moss.
Or actress.
No, Kate.
Oh, my
God. Upton. Yeah.
We were circling it. So.
Which NFL team hired the first cheerleading squad?
Dallas Cowboys.
You know, that's not what it says here.
Kansas City Chiefs.
No.
Washington.
Minnesota Vikings.
54.
First 54.
Cleveland.
Washington
Browns.
Redskins.
No. I'm going to say Detroit.
Packers.
Just because
New York Giants.
I feel like it's the Detroit. Packers. It's not Detroit.
It was the Baltimore Colts.
What?
Now the Indy Colts.
That was my next guess.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
The expansion of the concept came when the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders debuted, listen to how much further later, 1972.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was the first year?
First year was 54 for the Colts. Isn't that incredible?
Colts.
We have a bonus question. As of 2016, six teams do not have squads and have never had squads.
Oh.
And for the record, the Lions started one last year, so they're not on that list anymore. But could you get, three? Green Bay is one of them,
Too cold?
Yep.
Too cold. What?
On the frozen.
They kept
moving. I don't understand. Lambeau.
They have like winter wear, though.
Who else?
Leggings.
You've mentioned almost all of them.
Do the Chargers have
Philadelphia?
No. New York Giants.
The Giants don't have. Yep. One more and we'll be done.
Jets?
Vikings? No.
Vikings have
one. Vikings
have cheerleaders.
Cold.
I'm thinking cold.
The Bears?
Yeah. Vikings are indoors now. No, they're not. They're outdoors. Whatever. The Bears is
I'm
another
confused.
One.
I'm confused. Indoors, outdoors. You're hurting my little girl brain.
FYI, the rest of the list is the Bills. Pretty cold.
Yeah.
Cleveland. Cold.
Pretty cold.
Yeah. Pittsburgh. Cold.
Yeah.
I was going
to
say
the Packers hire a different collegiate squad to come to every home game and cheer the Packers on.
They're clean
off the seats.
The last one who left the list, it's pointed out here in the bonus question, of course, is the Lions.
Why do you have to hire somebody to come in and cheer? Is it because the 60,000 paying fans in the stands aren't cheering?
They need direction.
They need direction.
Yeah, they need inspiration.
And then also, if you found out what they were getting paid, it's hideous, too.
And the other practices that go along with
having squads. Yes, absolutely.
Who's credited with inventing the pet door by legend?
The who?
Pet door.
Thomas Edison. Ben Franklin.
Albert Einstein.
Was it a dog that actually invented it?
Is it a well-known name?
Most definitely.
Voltaire.
Voltaire?
Ben Franklin.
Not too far off.
Really?
Robespierre.
No. Thomas Jefferson.
He also one day sat down and invented calculus.
Newton.
Euclid?
Ptolemy.
Sir Isaac Newton. Did he own dogs? Why would
legend
he...
has
the
it.
The thing is, he didn't own dogs.
The famous mathematician was studying light and color in his attic, where it was very, very dark, and his cat kept pushing the door open and ruining his experiment.
Was this
one of those
door,
spy
it's
cats?
It's a cat door.
He said pet that was door. Later.
Oh, I thought you said dog door.
So even whistle pigs come in.
Pet door.
I mean, I can't. I was joking.
I said Voltaire.
I said Ptolemy.
In the name of science, Sir Isaac cut a small hole in the door, covered it with a flap of felt.
Anybody could have come up with it. You don't need Sir Isaac Newton.
Oh, this is bogus. Anybody could have done that.
It's not canon. It's legend. We're having a ton of fun today.
Did an apple really fall on his noggin? Do we know?
Legend has it.
Legend has it. Legend
this
has
is
it.
A pet door, not a cat or a dog.
So worms could crawl in through it too, right?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Caterpillars, anything.
What word, rejected by Twitter's founders as the name for their social networking site, led them to their winning selection?
Abyss.
Tweet.
No, but very, very close. I'm not quite sure I can help you that much. There is another app that you can use now that has this name that mostly is for streaming, playing video games, and having other people watch you do it. That's the best I can do. But it does start with the TW. That's how they found it in the dictionary. Any ideas?
Twitch.
Yeah. Or
Twitch.
Twitch is what it is. They basically wanted to do Twitch because they thought it sounded good.
But that's
and literally someone in the boardroom said, here's a TW word that means short, inconsequential bursts of information. Done.
Twitter. About the twits on Twitter.
He is inconsequential.
I hope that wasn't something somebody which wanted is a cousin to use for this show.
What is the largest snowflake ever recorded? Let's do width.
It's the size of a canned ham.
You're not too far off, by the way.
A foot long. No.
7 inches.
Let's go with bowling ball. An inch and a half. Why do I laugh that much? Yeah.
15 inches wide.
Baloney.
Where did this happen?
No.
8 inches thick. Fort Keogh, Montana, January 28th, 1887.
That was a snowball that somebody mistook for a snowflake.
Still in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Baloney.
What law enforcement tool was inspired by and named for Tom Swift, the boy inventor whose adventures are recounted in a series of early 20th century young adult novels? I don't know if there's a dystopia.
The taser.
The taser, yes. The electric stun gun.
Good.
Absolutely.
Tom Swift.
It was invented in 1974 by aerospace engineer Jack Corver, who named it Taser, which literally is an acronym for Tom A. Swift's electric rifle.
Wow.
Named after right, Tom Steven. Swift is an electric rifle.
Don't tase me, bro.
Oh, my gosh. I'm afraid we've come to the end of this fabulous set of questions. Tons and tons of fun. And it's time to say goodbye. But just for now, Jim.
Goodbye just for now.
Dave.
See ya.
Dan.
Goodbye.
Greg.
Arrivederci.
Steven.
See you next time.
Heather.
Bye-bye.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at Ask the Professor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed today by Michael Jason. Our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mile.